if you weren't here last week, that's what we started talking about, is the Holy Spirit. And if you remember from last week, we took some time and we talked basically saying, you know, what's so important about the Holy Spirit. So let me just do a little recap, and the recap is going to be simple. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And he's alive and he's doing well, but listening to him is another thing. You know what I mean? I have a mom, I have a mother growing up, but it doesn't mean I always listen to my mom, right? And we have the Holy Spirit, but the choice is always going to be, are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit? So we talked about how important the Holy Spirit is, and we said three things. He's our helper, he's our friend, and he's our God. And that just kind of set the groundwork for what the Holy Spirit is. He's our helper, he's our friend, and when I said he's our friend, I added, and he's not weird, because sometimes we make it weird when it really isn't. And that's why I wanted to take some time to talk about the Holy Spirit. And then I want to talk next week about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know this is where people are like, this is that speaking in tongues thing. And the answer is yes, but it's not a weird thing. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then don't. But you may be at a place where you're saying, I would like to know what it means to deepen my walk with the Lord. I'd like to know these promises that God has. I might be open to receiving that gift. Then we're going to create space for that. But what I want to do is try to educate ourselves, find out what the Bible has to say about it. Nobody has to feel pressured, threatened, rushed. But it's just like at Christmas. Who doesn't like to get presents at Christmas, right? Who doesn't like to get presents any day of the week? You know, the choice is always going to be ours, though. Are we going to open the gift or not? So I've got so many scriptures that I don't like to throw a lot of scriptures. I put as many as I could in your bulletin. I'll reference some that aren't in there because I don't want to give you the opinion of man. I always want to bring it back to the Word of God. Not just what does Jim have to say, it's what does Jesus have to say. That's what's most important. And so when we're learning about the Holy Spirit, I want to talk to you today about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we established last week that the Holy Spirit is God. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Three separate, yet one. It's the triune God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And because we have Jesus in our heart, we have the Spirit of God in our life. So how can we learn to listen to him? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And what's this whole gift thing all about? You see, the Holy Spirit is God. And we're told in Acts chapter 1, when there's, in the book of Acts, where this whole revelation and the giving of the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 says that they were gathering them together and he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. He told his disciples then, he's telling his disciples, you and me now, he says, I want you to wait here. There's something I'm going to give you. It's a helper. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that God gives. God is a God of promises. Can we agree on that? Okay. So if God promised you something, it will come to fruition. It may not come when you want it. It may not look like what you thought it would look like. But I've always found out it's always better. The promise will come to pass. And he promised us his Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, and Jesus says to you and me this morning, I must go. But when I go, I'm going to give you a helper. See, Jesus, why can't we just have Jesus? Well, Jesus is going to come back. But when Jesus comes back, we're all going with him, right? I mean, that's the plan, depending on what you decided in your heart, which way you're going to go. You know what I'm saying? You got to make room in your heart for Jesus. And it says that he will come again. But until that time, he says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit it's a promise that he gives. And here's where we get a little confused. I don't know if it's necessarily confused as much as it is we misunderstand. You know, it's kind of like the word love. You can say, I love you to my wife. I can say, I love chocolate, but they have different meanings of love, right? Or at least they should, right? Some people may love chocolate more than their spouse on certain days. I don't know. But when we're talking about a promise, Jesus said, I give you a promise. And the promise is my Holy Spirit. But in our world today, we experience brokenness. We've been let down. I bet everybody here could raise a hand. Maybe you're joining us and watching on TV. You could raise your hand and say, I've had somebody promise me something that they did not come through with. They didn't fulfill it. You know, you could say, well, I've been married and they promised to be faithful and they weren't. You could say, I promised I was going to take care of that financially and I didn't. It could be as simple as, I promise I'll clean my room and you don't. You know, we break promises. And then we hear about Jesus leaving his Holy Spirit as a promise and we think, yeah, well, what if he lets me down? Because we've got this saying, and you've heard it, promises are meant to what? Be broken. Why do we say that? Because we've experienced so much of the brokenness. So when we hear that God has left his Holy Spirit, Jesus leaves the Holy Spirit as a promise, we're like, well, is he really going to come through? Is it really going to matter? Is it really going to make a difference? But he says, you've got to have an understanding that the promise God gives and the promise the world gives are two different promises. We will let people down. People will let us down, but God never will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never abandon you. He will never leave you. His promises will come to fruition. And because of our earthly experiences and disappointments, sometimes we begin to view God's promises the same way, with kind of some skepticism. And how quickly we forget that his promises are based upon his character, not ours. His promises are based not on our performances, but on his performance right here. That's why we come to the table. We celebrate the fact that he died and he rose again. In fact, one of his best promises that we're meant to enjoy, we might not even realize it, and that's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've said, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have his Spirit within you. But learning to hear his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, learning to tune into that and obey that is a different thing. The Holy Spirit is a living person. God's promise of the Holy Spirit, it's not just a nice saying or a hopeful expectation. It is a living promise. Now, he says, my Holy Spirit, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to leave that with you. And he said, the Holy Spirit, remember last week we said, wouldn't it be great to hear a conversation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You know, because, you know, the Father would say, I exalt and lift up my Son. And the Son would say, I only do what I see the Father do. And Holy Spirit would say, well, I'm just his mouthpiece. And they'd all be sitting in a triangle just saying, you're great. No, you're great. No, you're great. You see, the three are one. But there's a promise that the Holy Spirit gives. He says, I want to help you. How many of you here could use some help maybe in life? You're like, I'm going through something right now. Well, his Holy Spirit says, I want to help you. And, you know, it reminded me of a story of a class full of people that were doing a final exam for a math exam. It was an undergraduate math course, so, you know, it's intense. It's way harder. And this was a final exam. It was a cumulative final exam, which means the exam is going to cover everything they've been studying all year long. And they were going to give this test, and the students just started kind of squirming. They're like, oh, this is going to be so hard. They're going to be tested on everything. And they said, there's no way that we can remember everything. There's no way we can have it all packed in there in 1 year. Could you please just show some mercy? Could you please just do something to give it? Let us do open book exam. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you do an open book exam. But as they kept kind of complaining, he finally relented just a little bit. And he said, okay, all right, here's what I'll do. He said, I will allow you to bring some notes. However, you may only bring whatever you can fit on a standard 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Now, to you and me, that might sound great, but this isn't high school, remember? This is undergraduate school. They're in the medical field. Yeah, they can write in front and back. Yeah, they can write really teeny tiny, but they still will never get everything on that paper that they need to know. And so the week went by. It was the day of the exam, and the assistant professor started handing out the exams to all of the students, and then he did his countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. People started scribbling as fast as they could and writing down the answers. And the professor walked into the classroom about 20 minutes into the exam. And he looked around the room and saw people scribbling furiously. But then he noticed one freshman over to the side. And this one freshman in the class had an advanced graduate student standing next to him, giving him all the answers, just feeding him all of the answers. To which the professor went over and said, what are you doing? You can't do this. To which the student said, I'm sorry, but last week, did you not say anything we can fit on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper we could use? He said, yes. And then the professor looked down on the floor, and that graduate student was standing on a piece of paper, feeding him the answers. That's one of the best pictures I can give you of who the Holy Spirit is. You may say, there's no way I can make it through this life. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do with my husband, my wife, my kids, my job, my direction, my purpose, these seasons in life. I'm experiencing loss, all of the emotions that come with it. You know, I can't handle it. But you don't have to handle it all. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. He stands there beside you to be able to speak to you. The question is, are you looking for him? Are you listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit? And then are you doing anything with what it is the Holy Spirit says? That's what this sermon basically boils down to. This is why he gives us his promise. And it says in John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will be telling you about what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. This right here is an amazing promise. He says, Jesus says, I'm going, but I'm sending you the helper. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you through all that stuff you can't figure out. He's going to help you to know which way's up and which way's down. He's going to give you the answers that you need. Maybe not exactly when you need them. Maybe not exactly what you thought you'd hear, but he will never fail. He will never leave you hanging out to dry. He will tell you about the future. I wish I had that superpower. I always wanted that one when I was a kid. I wish I could read people's minds. I wish I could be able to tell the future. Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. And he says that he will help you. He will tell you what he has heard. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't a magic eight ball where you're just saying, Lord, should I take this job or that job? And you kind of shake it up. But it is good to seek the Lord, right? Holy Spirit, what do you have to say? God knows our future. He designed it. And that's why this passage tells us that we need the Holy Spirit as our guide, because if you write down in your outlines there, that little bullet, truth needs a guide. Truth really needs a guide. God wants us to stay near the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows what's coming down the pike. You may be facing something tomorrow. I might be facing something tomorrow that I'm not aware of and I'm not equipped to handle, but the Holy Spirit will equip me. He will inform me. He will protect me, guide me. You know, he'll let me know what I need to know. Truth needs a guide. It needs a guide. Of course, we still have a choice. We can ignore it. But why would you ignore somebody who has all the answers? Why would you not listen to somebody who can make everything that feels, seems, or is wrong give you the power to be able to make the choices to make it right? On the other hand, we can do this. Instead of ignoring him, we can make him our friend. We can make him our friend. Remember last week, he's our helper, he's our friend, he's our God. It's been a number of years now, but I went to Quito, Ecuador. And I don't know if you've ever been over there. I went once. My wife, Lisa, and her partner, Jeannie, went over there to do some counseling, and they said, would you like to come with us? To which her husband, Jeannie's husband, Kevin, and I said, no. We don't want to go. We'll come at the end, though, and we'll do some vacation. You know, that's what we were all about. So they said, okay. So I ended up flying to Miami and meeting Kevin Kuckelman, and we jumped in a plane, and we took off together. It was, I think, one of the first times we really got to know one another is meeting in Miami, Florida, and we're heading to Quito, Ecuador. And what I found very interesting was this. We got there, and they still had some work to do. So they were busy. They were busy by day, had a little bit of free time at night. But when we went on this trip, when Kevin and I got on that plane, he thought I spoke Spanish, and I thought he spoke Spanish. You can see where this is going, can't you? We got there, and because they were busy, we decided to venture out, because how bad can it really be? And we made it 3 blocks maybe away and realized nobody here speaks English, right? Now, I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I just assume there's going to be some people that will be there that will speak English. Nobody is speaking English. We got lost. We didn't know how to communicate. You know, my vocabulary in Spanish is very, very limited. I like to throw L in front of it or la, you know, and somehow that makes it Spanish, right? So if you speak Spanish, I don't mean to offend. I just, you know, I know a few words, and that's about it. I was relying on Kevin. Kevin was relying on me. And when the horrible truth came out that neither of us knew Spanish, we were lost. We didn't know how to ask for anything. We were like, we want to buy, you know, money. Everyone understands money, right? You know, then they're like, ooh, you know, and they started, we don't even know what they were charging us. Are we getting ripped off? Are we paying too much? We didn't know. And so we went back. We somehow made it back. It got in some dangerous neighborhoods too. They were pretty sketchy, so we decided to get out of there. You know how when you're in a neighborhood, you don't know if it's sketchy or not, but you can just feel that presence, you know? We're like, we better go back now. About 3 days later, they had heard our story, some of the people that work there, and they said, we really want you to enjoy Quito, Ecuador. It's a very beautiful place. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this. We're going to send a guide with you, and the guide's going to show you around all the places that you need to see that you did not see. You're going to see the basilicas, which is all the big churches that, you know, you'd see off movies, and that just looked beautiful. They had a great town to be able to wander. They had amazing food. I'm a foodie, so I loved it. But I, unbeknownst to me, there's some places you can eat, and there's some places you shouldn't eat. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that can be very, very dangerous. And so they sent a guide with us. And we went around town, and we visited all these places. And there were certain times where I'd be like, ooh, you know, because I was looking at all the shiny stuff or something, you know, oh, I want to go get some of that. And my guide would say, no, don't go over there. Now I had a choice. Am I going to listen to him or not? Well, I chose to listen to my guide because he lives there. He knows that place. He speaks their language. And so when he said, don't go, I didn't go. And then he'd say, if you want something to eat, you can go over here. Thank you very much. I will. And I went over there. We get some whatever it is we got. There was a time when we walked down the road, and a gentleman approached us, and he was kind of sketchy looking, you know what I mean? He had sores on his face, and I don't know what he was saying because I didn't speak the language, but it was apparent, you know, he wanted money or something. So moved with compassion, my hand started to go in my pocket. And when I got about right here, my guide said, get your hand out of your pocket. I'm like, why? Is there a sniper on me or something? You know, what's going on? He said, don't give him money. And he knew why, but he didn't need to tell me in that moment. What did he need me to do? Get my hand out of my pocket. He just needed me to listen. He explained to me later. He said, that gentleman, he says, don't give him money because this is what he's going to use it for. And he proceeded to tell me. And that same gentleman followed us for about 3 blocks. And he kept asking and taunting and all that. And then at one point, our guide stopped and stood right in front of us, put his hand out to that guy, and said something to him. I don't know what he said because I don't speak Spanish. But it was very authoritative, I knew that, you know. And he told him, let's just say where to go and how to get there probably, right? You need to back off, you need to leave, and he did. Because of those two experiences, our first venture into a town with no guide versus a town with a guide was day and night. Without a guide, we were lost. Without a guide, we were getting ripped off. Without a guide, we were in danger and probably didn't even know how much danger we might have been in. But with a guide, we had somebody that could show us the most beautiful places. We got to experience the best of the best that the town had to offer. Because of our guide, we were protected. And because of our guide, we knew where to go and where not to go. The Holy Spirit is the same way. He wants to lead you and guide you. We need a guide. Truth will always need a guide. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The question I have today is this. How close do you stay to your guide? How close do you stay to him? See, the further I got away from my guide, because I was distracted by all the stuff, the more lost I was, you know, and I didn't understand. The closer I stayed to my guide, the safer I was. The Holy Spirit's our guide. My question to you this morning is how close are you staying to your guide? How close are you staying to the Holy Spirit? It says that it was John 16, I'm going to read it again. The Holy Spirit will come because I will send him to you. It says in the New Living Translation. He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you the future. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to guide us in our everyday choices. Oh, Pastor, really? Everyday choices like work and life and marriage? Absolutely. That's why he's here. He's here to speak to us and tell us. And on top of that, God gives us another scripture to let us know how important the Holy Spirit is in this living promise, that it's a non-negotiable promise. Luke chapter 24, I don't believe this one's in your outline, but it's Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." That's the Holy Spirit. He said, "But you are to stay until you are clothed with power from on high." In other words, Jesus told his disciples, be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit. How many of you are good at being patient? How many of you are good at waiting? Well, sometimes we struggle with that. But when we go off on our own and do our own thing because we see a shortcut, doesn't it always just bring worse consequences into our life? He says, be patient. Wait for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Wait for this promise. But why? Why wait on the promise? You know, often we're impatient. We tend to venture off on our own. We get far from the guidance of God, and then we get lost. We don't even know what path we're supposed to be on. But the Holy Spirit says, I'll lay that path out before you. I'll show you if you will just seek me. So God tells us to wait upon the promise of the Holy Spirit for three reasons. And that's what I want to give you today. Three reasons we need to wait on the Holy Spirit. Number one, because he knows God's plans. He being the Holy Spirit. He knows God's plans. The Holy Spirit is the top source for God's plan for you. Well, doesn't Jesus speak to me? Yes, through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. He knows, by the way, our past. The Holy Spirit does. He knows our present. He knows our future. He was there in the design room with God before we even came into being. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the what? The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit even knows God's thoughts, by the way. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except who? The Spirit of God. No one knows, nobody. I don't care how great a pastor, you know, you find the greatest pastor that walked the earth, he still does not know the thoughts of God except for what the Holy Spirit reveals to him and through him. So it's not about your position. It's not about a title. It's not about how good you can be. We all need help. We all need this promise of the Holy Spirit. So this indicates that if the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts, well, then he also knows what pleases God and he knows what doesn't. And he's ready to share that information with you. He's ready to share that information with me. The question remains, do you want to hear it? Can I ask it that way? Do you want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say? I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because if I'm asking you, do you want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say? The normal answer to give a pastor in church during service is to say, yes, I want to hear the Holy Spirit. But I would encourage you when you go home, say, do I really want to hear the Holy Spirit? Because if you do, he will speak. And when he speaks, the question is what will you do with what he spoke? That's what makes all the difference in the world. Do you really want to hear? Because he says, I can tell you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He knows. He knows what those plans are. Have you ever come to a service, whether it be at this church or any other church, and the pastor got preaching and you wanted to say, who told on me? Have you ever wanted to do that? Yeah, like they're preaching and you're like, oh my gosh, who did you, and you know, maybe look at your spouse. You rotten animal, did you tell him what's going on? You know, or you think somebody must have been talking about you, but you see, that's not what's happening. What's happening? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He knows what's going on with you, and he knows what you need to hear. He knows what I need to hear. For single people, God knows your future and whether or not you're to be married or not, who to marry, who not to marry. For each of us, he knows our vocation, our career, what we'll have, what we want. He can guide us about God's plans for our family, for our daily lives, even for investments. The Holy Spirit will speak. The Holy Spirit is a gift we must treasure. Still, how can we be sure if we're not on the right track and following God's plan for our lives? Well, in order to discern his voice, we need to know the Word of God. This is why the Word of God is so important. The one thing I don't like is I feel like pastors feel like, I wonder if sometimes they're like, well, pastors have to say that, read your Bible, right? Because that's like Bible College 101. But it's not about Bible college training. It's about kingdom of God. It's about life training. It's about knowing that this is the standard, this word of God, not my iPad, but the word of God that's on it. It's about knowing that his word is truth, and this is the truth that sets you free. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, and so we've got to make sure that we understand that getting into the word of God is going to be so important, however you do that. There's so many different ways, whether you're doing a devotional plan or you're doing some journaling or whatever that means, but you get into the word of God because that's where you find the promises. And once we get to know God's voice, once we get to know this is his promise or this is the Holy Spirit, I'm getting to know his voice, then we can discern his plans for our lives. And the second reason we want to wait upon the Holy Spirit is this, number two, because he can fulfill God's design in me. It's only the Holy Spirit that can fulfill God's design in your life. Too many times we're trying to fulfill it on our own. And what we're trying to fill it with is usually the things of this world. However well-intended or not it is, if it's anything other than what God has for you, it's illegitimate. Because he only has blessings that he wants to bring in our life. The Holy Spirit is able to help fulfill God's design in our life. We won't be able to do it on our own. That's why he's called the helper. That's why he's here. He wants to help fulfill God's design for your life. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, by his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare ask or hope. See, it's when you hear the Holy Spirit in your life. Who's the Holy Spirit? Well, he's part of the Trinity, and he's here to help you, and he wants to speak to you. So those things you complain about, those things that you're hurt about, those things that bring pain into your life, he wants to tell you what you need to know so you can navigate those waters. Remember, the Holy Spirit was there in the divine design room when God designed us. So the best thing we can do is stay close to our guide. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. I love this verse. Lisa and I always clung to this one early on in our marriage. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, that's where I heard this verse before. I liked this verse. I probably had it memorized then, but there's times when I wasn't trusting in the Lord with all of my heart, and there was a portion of me that was leaning into my own understanding. And the Holy Spirit had to reveal to me what I needed to hear, what it is I needed to know. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is he can help us fulfill God's plans for our life. Paul the Apostle in the Bible is known as one of the greatest movers and shakers of Christian faith, and yet he remained humbled and submitted to God's direction. Was Paul perfect? No. Did Paul ever make mistakes? All the time. But yet, I think he was a mover and a shaker, not because of how great Paul was, but because he not only would, as he walked and listened to Jesus, when Jesus left, he relied on the Holy Spirit, just like you and I do. It says this is in a Phillips translation, I believe. He said, this is Philippians 3:12 in the New Living Translation. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Wouldn't that be amazing to come to that place and say, I just want to be where I know Jesus wants me to be? Wouldn't that be just refreshing? Oh, you know, it just feels so good. Well, the Holy Spirit can help you get there and fulfill that. Paul wanted to be sure that he attained the potential that was intended for his life. And there's going to be times, however, when we'll be inclined to reject what God asks of us because we think we know better, right? Maybe you've never done it, but I know I have. God will speak and I'll say, I got a better plan. Or let me make a slight correction and submit that back to you and see what you think about that. Has that ever worked for you? Now, God's not much into me editing his word. He's more into me just simply obeying it. He wants me to fulfill that. True story of an actual radio conversation from a U.S. Navy ship with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. Canadians radioed out and said, please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The Americans responded, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadian said, negative, you will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. To which the American said, this is the captain of the U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadian said, no, I say again, divert your course. They're like bickering like little kids. To which the American said, this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied with 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. I say again, that's 15 degrees north. Or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. To which the Canadians responded, this is a lighthouse. Your call. And I know there's times when I've been going down the road of life and God said, go to the right. And I'm like, aw, I want to go to the left. You ever been there? God tells you to do one thing, and it's not even that it's bad. It's not even that it's anything horrible. It's just, that's what God wants, and this is what I want, and that's where the real battle is. And so I've got a choice to make. I've heard the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit, or am I going to listen to Jim? And anytime I've chosen, because I'll look at it and say, but, you know, God, my way is more fun. My way is quicker. You ever have shortcuts trying to help God out? How did that work out for you, right? And I've learned through time that when he speaks and says, why don't you just go to the right? I've learned over time to just go to the right. I've learned to just listen. Because too many times I miss what God is trying to perfect within me, what God is trying to develop. And he uses his Holy Spirit to speak to you about that. Now, God has given us a power. He's given us a hope. We've read many scriptures about that. But just think, every single one of us here, every single one of us walk with a living promise of God called the Holy Spirit. We experience, you here today, his presence is here. Now, it's not here because this is church. It's here because of you. When you have Jesus in your heart, his Spirit is there. And the question isn't any longer, is his Spirit there? The question is can you hear him? When he talks, do you listen? You know, I had a problem as a child called selective hearing. Maybe you've had it before. Where all of a sudden, mom or dad would say something, and I heard him talking, but I wasn't really paying attention. And we can do that too many times with God. Just get kind of that selective hearing going on. But he says, I'm speaking for a reason because I want to help you. I want to guide you into all truth. He is the living promise, and he's in each and every one of us. We're also assured that he knows everything about God and the plans that he's designed for our lives. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is able to fulfill the unique design that God has for each and every one of us. Now, they're all wonderful and eternal and life-changing points that God brings into your life. They're all important, but here's the thing. We've talked today about the fact that truth needs a guide. We said that the Holy Spirit is the one who knows God's plans, and the Holy Spirit is the one that can fulfill God's design in your life. But this last one's the most important because without it, nothing else matters. Number 3, write this down. We must be willing to obey. If you are not willing to obey, you limit the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you've ever wondered, Holy Spirit, where are you? Why don't you show up? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you speak to me? You've got to start with, do you make time to seek him? You draw near to him, he does what? He draws near to you, is what the Bible tells us. It says that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always going to be there. But when he speaks, you got to be willing to obey because why should he give us more if we don't do anything with the little he already gave us? See, obedience is optional, but results may vary. We can talk about the wonders and miracles of standing on the promises of the Holy Spirit. We can talk about how he knows God's plans and how he can fulfill God's design in our lives. We can go on and on and on, but it means nothing if we're not going to obey it. It means absolutely nothing. Take a look at the early church. They were a gang of enthusiastic young men and women, intent on following God's best for their futures. And yet, right away, they knew that the promise of the Holy Spirit was more than just listening to great sermons. They knew it was more than seeing miracles take place. I mean, they were there. They saw this happen. They heard firsthand. But Jesus said, I must go, and when I go, I'll leave the helper. But yet, they had to still trust in that process. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. It's up on the screen there. It's in your outlines. Read that one with me, nice and loud. You ready? Go. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. He says, I give these to you, but I only give it to the ones who obey. Why? Well, why should he give you more if you're not going to do anything with the little he gave you? He says, I give it to those that obey. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is delighted, absolutely delighted to be our guide? Well, Pastor, you know, I got quite a mouth on me. Or, Pastor, you don't know the sins I've done. Pastor, you don't know these things that I do. You know what? He's still delighted to be your God, and he wants to speak to you, even in those situations. Well, I don't want him to tell me how horrible I am. He won't. He doesn't condemn you. He will bring conviction. When I gave my heart to Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit who got me there. You all know how I live life, or at least most of you do. You know, I wasn't always a Christian. You know, before Jesus, I made a lot of mistakes. Before Jesus, I committed a lot of sins. Before Jesus, I did so many things that brought hurt into the lives of those that are closest to me. But it was after I gave my heart to Jesus, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started to speak. I've told you before, I was driving down the highway, and I just had this nagging feeling. That's where it started for me. This nagging feeling. Little did I know it was the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a nag, okay? And the Holy Spirit is not just about feelings. But that's where I started. Just this, I can't shake it. And I knew I needed to get my life right with God. And when I said yes to Jesus, all of a sudden, when I invited Jesus, his Holy Spirit came with it. And his Holy Spirit started to talk to me about what I needed to do. Now I have a choice to make. You know, Jesus is in my heart. I'm saved. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Great. Are you doing what the Holy Spirit says? Because nothing else matters if you're not willing to obey. Well, can't we just rejoice that you're saved? Absolutely. All of heaven rejoices when somebody comes to know Jesus. But he says, but I want you to know this promise that I have for you. That's so amazing. That you don't have to worry, fear, be anxious for anything. My Holy Spirit is there to help you, to walk with you through this. So he says he is delighted to be your guide. He wants to give you and me truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But he's not going to do it with a shotgun. He's not going to do it with a fire hose. He'll just reveal it to you. How do you know that? Because that's what he did with me. See, his Holy Spirit is the only one that I know of that could come to me and tell me something about me that I probably already knew, and could tell me that it wasn't right, could tell me that it didn't please him, and I could receive it. If anybody else came and told me what I'm doing wrong, we probably would have fought, right? But I could receive that from the Holy Spirit. And then I had a choice. Am I going to obey or not? We got to respond to this. We get this great opportunity, but we must be willing to obey. Think about it. Why would he waste his time giving us more if we're not going to listen to the little that he says? Why would you give a saddle to somebody that never rides a horse? Why would you give a cruise ticket to somebody who's constantly seasick? Neither party would ever use it. So you're much better off, you know, giving it to somebody else. Well, the same is true in a way when it comes to the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's given to those, as we read earlier, who obey. Now, you've been given the Holy Spirit, but the gift that he wants to reveal to you, the future, the plans, if you've ever wondered, man, I wish I could just avoid some of these potholes in life, the Holy Spirit can help you do that. All you have to do is start listening for him and then obey. But what happens if we disobey? Well, it leads to compromise. If we disregard his voice, we discard his instructions, we choose to travel far from our guide, we end up as lost as I felt in the middle of Quito, Ecuador. I told my wife later, I said, that was a scary moment for me. And I didn't say anything at the moment, but I said, it's the first time I've been in a place where I didn't know anybody, I didn't know the language, I didn't know the territory. I felt hopeless, I felt helpless, I felt alone. And you see, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, there's a hopelessness that's there. But when you do, and you start listening for him, you have a hope. The requirement is clear. If the Holy Spirit is to fulfill God's design in us, we must set our hearts on wanting what's best, what God wants for our life. We have to want to hear him. And then we must obey what he says. Let me illustrate it by, it's just a poem I had read that just kind of helped me see it, but it says this: one ship sails east and the other west, while the self-same breezes blow. But it is the set of the sail, not the winds, that will ultimately determine which way it will go. And as we journey on through the currents of life, it will be the set of our hearts that will determine our path, not the storms and the strife. You know, many times we complain about our circumstances, but our circumstances aren't what determines our outcome. It's how we set our heart. And we must set it on God and be able to hone in on that. We must set our hearts on obedience. Otherwise, we won't receive the Holy Spirit or any blessings that he has to offer because we've shut our ears to that. He's looking for obedience. And there's two types of obedience. There's a correcting obedience and there's a perfecting obedience. A correcting obedience is it's when we want to run our own lives, only to find out we don't know what we're doing. We make a mess, and then we come and say, Jesus, forgive me, what must I do? And he'll bring correction, but he'll do it because he loves us. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on what? The Spirit is life and peace. It says, the mindset on the flesh, it's just going to be death. But when you focus on the Spirit of God, it gives you life and peace. Seems like a simple choice, but yet we struggle with it sometimes. Correcting obedience. It will convict us so that we change our actions, of course, but don't confuse conviction with condemnation. God never condemns us. He will convict us. Galatians 5 says, I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Now, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. It's complete opposite. See, as our guide, the Holy Spirit will correct us. And sometimes we think correction is always a negative thing. That's because we're thinking with the world mindset. Sometimes he'll just come and make a small correction here and there. But if we don't listen, then that's correcting obedience. But he has something better for us, which is perfecting obedience. Perfecting obedience is this. Perfecting obedience is changes you make along the way in your journey with Christ while you walk with him. Now, he still may have to make corrections here and there, but a perfecting obedience is when you get off course just a little and he says, no, get back over, and you get back over. That's a perfecting type of obedience. And you can do that because you hear the Holy Spirit, and when he speaks, you simply obey. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. You know, there's going to be times when the Lord will speak to you, and all he wants to know is, will you obey? I remember when he did this for me. For example, you could be walking along, and there's a piece of paper on the floor, and something inside of you just says, why don't you pick it up and throw it away? And you might think, because I didn't put it down there, so I'm not picking it up. See, then correcting obedience is necessary. But a perfecting obedience is when you're walking along and you see the piece of paper on the floor and you have that thought, somebody should pick that up. And the Holy Spirit says, why don't you? And you go, oh, I suppose I can. And you pick it up and you throw it away. You know, you learn along the way. There was times I remember when I was learning to hear the Holy Spirit. I'd be laying in bed and I'd feel kind of like God put somebody on my heart. Maybe I should pray for him. I mean, this sounds silly, but this is how it goes in my head at least. You know, should I pray for him or not? Well, you can never go wrong praying for somebody, right? But mind you, it's probably 11 o'clock at night. I'm in bed. I'm comfortable. I'm ready to doze off. You seriously want me to get out of bed and just pray for this person? And I struggled because I just felt like the Lord said, get out of bed, get on your knees and pray for him. And I thought, oh, but it's 11:30. I'm sure he knows what time it is. And I'm sure he wasn't concerned about that. What was he concerned about? Whether I was going to obey or not. And I remember wrestling with that. I'm like, do I get out? Was that me or was that God? Maybe I just eat too many tacos tonight, you know. Hearing voices, you know, you do this little inner wrestling match. But then I finally decided, well, if it's not God and I get down and pray, nobody else saw me, so I'm not going to look stupid. But if it is God and I ignore it, I'm going to look stupid. I don't want that. So I get out and I pray. Recently, and that hasn't happened in a long time, but I'll tell you what has happened recently. When I sleep, I dream pretty vividly. You know, in color, there's always something going on. sometimes it's chaotic, and I don't always remember the dream, but lately the Lord keeps putting people in my dreams, random people. Sometimes it's been you guys as a church family. Sometimes it's been somebody I went to school with years ago. Sometimes it's been somebody I don't necessarily like. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd think, that was kind of weird. I dreamt about, you know, Larry, Moe, and Curly. I'm just picking names right now. And I thought, am I supposed to pray for them? And so I did. And I said, Lord, I don't know how this all works, okay? But if you need me to pray for somebody, can you just help me understand? Can you show me? If I dream about somebody, you know, place them in my dream. If I dream about somebody, Jesus, they're getting prayed for. And it's been like clockwork. Almost, if not every night, every other night, I wake up. And sometimes they're silly. I told my wife a couple days ago, I said, man, I dreamt about this. That was weird, wasn't it? You know? But what mattered was just that name. And I thought, oh, and I went and I prayed for that person. It took me 30 seconds, tops. But what's my reason for sharing this with you? You see, that's the Holy Spirit finding ways to speak to us. Sometimes it can be in dreams. Sometimes it's just that feeling. Is that the Holy Spirit? My encouragement is this. The way that you learn to hear Him is just start obeying the voice. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to grab a gun and go hold up a liquor store. I'll guarantee on that one. But if the Holy Spirit tells you to pray for somebody, chances are that's Him. He tells you not to do something, make a choice, and it doesn't make sense to you, are you going to obey or not? We went out to eat one night. This is years ago. But it's when I was learning this whole correcting versus perfecting obedience. I got to tell you, I just struggled with obedience, period. Because I like to do things my way, right? If everybody else just thought like I think, everybody would be fine. We all think that. So the Lord was developing this in my heart. We were at Olive Garden. I went to the restroom. By the way, men can be real slobs, right? All the ladies are going to say amen to that one. But I went into the bathroom, and it was a mess. It was the counter, and just water everywhere, soap squirts and all that stuff, you know, just nasty. And I went to wash my hands, and I thought, do I even dare? You know, such a mess. But I turned the water on, and I just had this thought, man, somebody should do something about this. It's a mess. And I dried my hands, and it's if the Holy Spirit sitting right on my shoulder said, yeah, somebody should. Why don't you do it? I'm like, I didn't make the mess. And I went, wait a minute. This is one of those things, right? And with some reluctancy, obviously this is way pre-COVID, I grabbed a bunch of paper towels and I started wiping down the counter. Nobody came in. Nobody saw me do it. Nobody gave me an attaboy. Nobody even gave me an extra mint when I paid my check. You know what I mean? Nothing. Nobody noticed. And I don't tell you now because I'm bragging about it. My point is simple. The only one that saw it is the one who mattered most, Jesus. Do you mean to tell me that He's going to tell me to wipe down a counter when I get home? I don't know. He may tell you to do something a little more disgusting for all I know. I don't. It's not about the thing that you do. It's about whether you, when, do you hear Him? And when you do, do you do what He says? Do you do what He says? That's what it boils down to. This morning, my hope and my prayer is this, that we can learn more about the Holy Spirit so that, can you imagine with me, if every one of us was completely saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me, and we're doing everything the Holy Spirit says, can you imagine that the church, how unstoppable the church would be? Not the church of the building. I'm talking about the church here. We would be unstoppable because the Holy Spirit would be so strong. My prayer for us today is this. God has given us a promise, the Holy Spirit. I could put it in a Christmas song and I'd say, do you hear what I hear? And then what do you do with it? I want you to just, if you would, close your eyes with me. And I want to pray for us. And I want to pray specifically for this, that the Lord would give us a heart that yearns to hear Him more. Not in a weird way, not being uber spiritual. We just want to know, what does God have to say? So Jesus, I ask today, I thank You for helping us to learn every week, little by little, every day, little by little, that we learn more about our heritage, that we learn more about our inheritance and where we fit in the kingdom of God. Lord, that we learn more about our family, and we learn more about our Father. Lord, I can't, and none of us can comprehend all of it in one swoop. But I'm asking today that little by little, you would start to speak to us, that we'd start saying, was that you? And then we'd start obeying what it is you say. Change our hearts, O God. Change us into your image. We thank you for these moments. We thank you when you speak to us. Please don't ever stop. And Lord, we ask that you would seal this in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.